I'm so glad to be here to see especially a group of young people. And actually, I learned two new things today. One, all the songs you have sang in the praise, I don't know any one of them. But you know, when I listen to the singing, when I read the lyric, I felt so warm because the lyric of the song is so much into my message, actually. It really fit really well. Particularly the first song, it said, you know, pull me a little what closer and take me a little deeper. You know, I want to know your heart. So that phrase really fit into the message I want to bring to you. And then the second thing I learned is not only something I learned, but it was actually a surprise. You know, as you collect the offering, right, there was a piano. And then I thought, this melody is so familiar. But then, you know, eventually I caught into the lyric. And then, wait a minute, this is a Chinese song. Right? San Xing Oi, you know. This is a Chinese song. I say, and then I try to look, you know, who's this person, you know, playing on the piano? And then I realized it was him, you know. And it's a huge surprise to me. It's really, really great. Well, I have an honor to come to share with you. And the reason I came is that one time I was sharing with Brother Calvin Su and about my ministry in India. So every time when I talk about India, I don't know why I got excited. And then he said, "Oh, you're so excited. Why don't you come to share with me? Our young people, you know, our English congregation." I said, "Sure, you know." And actually, this is really an honor for me to share because that is really about the love of Christ. That's really about the wonderful guidance and amazing work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I always love to share that. So this is my honor to share with you. We read the passage already, and actually this passage talking about three things basically I want to share with you in a very simple way, and later on I will try to put God's guidance and or my story to India into this context. And then the three things they're talking about, first it talks about actually a calling. This is very interesting that this is the story that end the Gospel of John. You know, when you read Matthew, you know, what's the ending of it? The ending was the Great Commission, you know. Therefore, you make disciples, go all to the nation, you know, to the end of the earth, and then baptize them, teach them, you know. And that was kind of like really giving us a grandiose picture, you know, about the church. You know, what a church can accomplish. You know, what a church would be like. It will be all people from all nations. They will come together. They all will worship Jesus. They will follow Jesus. What a great vision. What a great vision. So that's the ending of Matthew. And then even Luke put it in a little bit simpler way, you know. But again, you know, giving us a mission that we will be the witness of Jesus to the Gentile, to the people around the world. And then Mark, you know, ending with like the work of Jesus. But this, you know, John is kind of interesting. You know, John, the Gospel of John, starting with what? A very theological picture. You know, God has come, you know, to the world. And we for us, it's hardly understand what it's supposed to mean. You know, that's a very, very big picture. And God coming down to earth, and then you come into the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and then this God talking to this man, and this non-perfect man, he's not perfect. This man had just betrayed him. This man just have shown all of his witness in his life. And yet, you know, Jesus, you know, take him out of all the disciples, walk with him on the shore, seesaw. I don't know, in those days, Peter was a fisherman. I don't know, you know, he will feel a kind of romantic walk or not. I don't know, because he was a fisherman, right? But if for me, you know, if someone, you know, brought me out to a seashore and then walk with me and then talk with me, I will feel very, very relaxed. I will feel very, very good, you know, especially after a good dinner, I mean, good breakfast, you know, that prepared by the Lord. So this is a really good time, a really good time. And yet, this passage we call a private conversation of our Lord Jesus with one of his beloved disciples who had just betrayed him. There's love in a very concrete way. If we just read, you know, God come down, you know, it's kind of abstract. Even, you know, when we read John 3:16, it's kind of abstract. God so loved the world that he gave his only son to the world so big. Where am I? But right here, right there, just an individual. Just an individual. Yes, God comes to the earth to speak to all men. And yet, he never neglects any one of us. He didn't only speak to all men. He speaks to you. He speaks to you. In a time of need, in a time of that you cannot imagine, he will express his love in such a way. I don't know if you ever have this experience. When you feel sad, when you feel down, when you feel like a failure, when you're questioning yourself, you're not even happy with yourself. You don't need anybody to tell you who you are. You don't need anybody's word in order to put you down. You yourself will put yourself down. Did you ever come to that kind of a situation? I was. Not a lot of times, but a few times. You know, only a few times is enough to really sink you to the bottom of the ocean. But here, Jesus pulled him away, pulled him out, and really put him closer to him, right? And then he took him in a deeper way. He asked him, "Hey, yo, do you love me more than this? Did anybody ask you this question? Your mom? Did your mom ever ask you? Did your dad ever ask you? Or boyfriends, girlfriends, husband and wife? This is a difficult question to answer. Very simple question. Do you love me? My goodness, please don't ever ask me. That's my wife anyway. Don't ask me. I will have a hard time to answer that. Right? If somebody asks you this, it will make you wonder what is in his mind, you know? If my wife is going to ask me, what is in her mind? Is she suspicious of me? Or whatever. What about a parent as a kid? Do you love me, honey? This is a very, very difficult question to receive and to answer. And yet Jesus asks Peter the deepest question he can ever take. Because it goes right into the bottom of his heart. And he has to answer with honesty. But we all remember that, right? It's only a few days ago. He betrayed Jesus. A few days ago, before he betrayed Jesus, in the Last Supper, right? Jesus said, you know, one of you is going to betray me. He said, yeah? Oh, yeah? You? He looks around, you know, looking around. All of his friends, he said, yeah, you may do it. You know, one of you. Why? One of you. Who are you? But it will never be me, right? Because he was so certain. He was so sure his heart for Jesus. But he doesn't really know his own heart. Right? He doesn't really know. And just a simple incident proved that. He's ignorant of himself. But sometimes we feel like we love Jesus, you know, especially when we serve. I know this morning, you know, in the announcement, we talk about short-term mission. You know, I guess some of you may go. Yeah? So when you go there, well, my goodness, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. What about you? Right? You will ask people around, and then you feel that, yes, I love Jesus. Even though my love may be limited, but that's real love. That's real love. It's true. It's real love. But so often, we will overestimate our love for Jesus, especially when we do the right things, when we are busy with his work, when we read our Bible, when we pray, when we come to service, not only on time, but early. How about that? How many of you being late? I assume all of you be on time, okay? I'm just saying it. I'm just making it up, right? So every sign shows us that, you know, we love Jesus. But again, don't overestimate your love for Jesus. So here, Jesus asked Peter this question. Then Peter said, yes, you know I love you. And then Jesus asked a second time. And then he still answered Jesus with an affirmative. Yes. Absolutely yes, right? And then he doesn't expect Jesus would ask the third time. You know, it means, are you really? And then he began to feel hurt. Why he feel hurt? Because come on, I love you, you know, and you ask me three times, who you think I am? That's why he got hurt. He still have no doubt about his own love for Jesus. That's why he got hurt. And then he said, you know I love you. Right? Okay, now Jesus asks a question. Really forcing him to search deep into his heart, to ask himself the very question, am I really loving Jesus? Yes. Okay, now the question is, why Jesus asked him? Yes, Jesus knew about his love for him, whether it's truth or not. Why Jesus asked him? He just want to scratch his wound, because you just betrayed me a few days ago. How can you say you love me? Was that Jesus' intention? No. Jesus never intend to say anything to us in order to put us down. Never. Whenever Jesus speaks to us, there's only one intention, there's only one purpose, is to lift us up. is to help us to grow. It's drive our life, go deeper, so that our root in Him will be deeper. And this is exactly Jesus' purpose of asking Peter with such a difficult question to answer. Yes, Jesus opened the wound, but not to say, see how bad you are. But in order to say, hey, doesn't matter. I know you love me, in spite of what you have done. Is it good? Yeah. That's affirmation to Peter. That's affirmation to Peter. And then he said, yes, you feed my lamb. And then, of course, you know, in the English translation, you see the progression. Yes, first you feed my lamb, and then you take care of my sheep, and then you feed my sheep, right? So there's a progression of Peter's answer. And there's also a progression of Jesus' response. But in this, Jesus reinstated his call to Peter. You know, in the very beginning, right, when first time when Jesus met Peter, and then he called him, follow me. And then he said, I will make you what? A fisher of men. My goodness, to a fisherman, that is a great vision. Because Peter was not satisfied with just catching fish, right? Otherwise, he would not follow Jesus. Because Jesus, I mean, at least in the beginning, the way that he understood, he wouldn't understand that Jesus will give him a lot of fishes, right? So he's no longer interested in catching fishes. And now Jesus put this new imagery into his mind. Hey, you're going to catch men. You're going to influence people's life. You're going to change people's life. You're going to change the world. The way that you're going to change people's life is just like the way that you catch fishes. I mean, Peter must have, you know, one or two times, you know, catch a big net of fishes, right? In his lifetime. And he imagined a good time, you know. So this is a really, really, really a grand vision. And it's a calling. But here, Jesus makes the call again. But no longer be a fisher of men. But be who? Be my little shepherd for my sheep. I asked you to follow me, right? So now you become me. What I'm going to do? I'm going to feed my sheep. I'm going to feed you how I was feeding you. You're going to do the same thing to my sheep. So now the focus is not just a grandiose vision, but actually it's a challenge to be faithful. To be faithful. Because that will be the sheep of Jesus, of the Lord. So he called him again, and over there is a mission. It's a mission. And the whole motivation about mission, this is the key, is the love of Jesus. Many people say, okay, I'm going to go there because there's a need. The people there has burden. Yes, all this true. All this should move our heart, because when Jesus saw those people, he had compassion over them, and his heart was moved. Yes, we should be moved when we look around the world. I try to just listen to the news. Sometimes it's difficult to really sense. You know, one time, you know, when I listened to the news, talking about, you know, what happened to the world in Syria and all that. And all of a sudden, I begin to imagine what's the life of the people there feel like. I cannot even imagine what would Jesus feel about that. Yeah, we should have the same feeling. If we have the feeling, we'll be willing to go. But the need of the people is not the ultimate motivation for mission. If you're thinking about the need of people, that's why you go to a short-term mission. You may come back and not go again. There were people like that. You know, there were people, you know, they went with me to India, and then when they were there, they were touched. They said, "My goodness, I'm going to come back." But I never saw them again. That's okay in a sense. But then the question is, why? Why? Well, it's because the motivation is about the people, but not about the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus that will compel us to go over hardship, to transcend difficulty, not care about too much about hurt. Without the love of Jesus, we will back down by many, many, many things. Even a very simple word from a person sitting next to you. Oh, you? That's enough to kill all of your burden and vision. On the other hand, if you really sense the love of Jesus, then the whole thing will be different. All the great missionary has this characteristic. Is that they experience the love of Jesus. And it's because of the love of Jesus that will sustain them to continue. Right here, right? Jesus asked Peter this question. The very question is just try to open his mind to understand. Look, what's important is not whether you are able to love me or not, because you may not. He just debunked Peter right there. You think you can love me? Think twice. One more time, your faith in yourself will be shaken. Even though I'm not shaken, even though I do have love, but how much love I can have, how much love I can give, very limited. So Jesus said, whether you love me or not, it's not the most important. It's important, but it's not the most important. It's necessary, but not sufficient. What's important, what's really important, is that I love you. He was asking the question so that Peter would understand this answer. It's not, Jesus doesn't need to ask him. It was not Jesus' intention to question him, but it was Jesus' intention to lift him up, to pull him closer, a little bit closer, dear to his heart, and to take him deeper into his life so that he will build in such a way that he can really carry the mission to the end. The tradition told us that how Peter died. Well, at that time, you know, Jesus' disciple was being persecuted. So Peter actually left the city, escaped. So on his way, walking away from the city, right, away from Jerusalem, and then all of a sudden there's a thought come to him. Wait a minute, what I'm doing? What I'm doing? Where I'm going? Well, the story doesn't say, you know, rather he's in his mind asking himself, am I betraying Jesus again? But anyway, this time, he has courage. So he returned to the city, and he got caught, and then he was nailed on the cross, and then he said to the people who nailed him, yes, you nailed me to the cross. It's okay. But I have one request. After you nail me to the cross, can you turn me upside down? Because I'm not worthy to die as my master. From the one that who fear of death. Death haven't even close to him at that point. Just a little lady asked him, do you know him? He was scared to death. But now he's bold enough to walk to the cross, open his arms, and ready to be turned upside down. What has changed? Well, his understanding of Jesus' love. Jesus entrusted him because Jesus not only forgave him, he also trusts him. And he wanted to entrust him a huge test. Feed his lamb. So it's all about Jesus' love for us. We only talk about, you know, going to a faraway mission field. Let's talk about ministry of tomorrow. Let's talk about playing drum again, leading singing on keyboard, on guitar. Next week you play the piano again. During the week, you will meet your classmates. What are you going to say to them? It's not about going just far away. It's about where we are. We should talk about mission. We should talk about where we are. Well, I think the message really carried me. And I only have, I think the time is 10 minutes. I share about my little story to India. Actually, in the beginning, I have no desire, no burden, no sense of going for any mission work because I just don't feel I fit to anything. I just don't feel I can do anything. And I have no burden. And only in 2004, then all of a sudden, I was a pastor for many years for church. Because I have no desire, I have no burden for vision. That's why my church also have no burden, have no desire for mission. That's why how important being a leader is. If you're a leader, something that you don't have, then your follower is difficult to have. So it's not only our pastor, our leaders. You are also the leader. You're also the leader. What you receive from Jesus, it will go down to your followers. So in 2005, I decide, okay, maybe next year I go. So where? I don't care. Because any place is the same to me. I have no particular burden for particular people. And then, you know, God brought a sister. She said to me, why don't you go to India? I don't know what India is anyway. Really? I said, yes. So after I say yes, well, as I prepare to go, man, I never make such a big preparation. You know, previous time, wherever I go, I pack, you know, the night before. But this time I thought about it and things like that, right? So I got to India, a lot of surprises, you know, not good. Put it this way, not good in the sense that not the country is not good, not the things are not good, but just totally out of the box of my comfort zone. It's so uncomfortable. Mosquitoes, yes. Heat. Have you ever experienced triple digits? Huh? Triple digits. It's okay, triple digits. I mean, I've been in Texas, but remember, you have AC in your car. You know, you don't need a Mercedes-Benz to, in order to have AC in the car, right? Any car have AC in the United States. But over there, not even a restaurant have AC. Where we live, we don't have AC and all that. You know, I took a train to a city, right? And then, you know, I go to the bathroom, right? So I go out, I look both sides. On this side of the door, Western style. This side, Eastern style. I say, what's that? I only know one style, right? What's Eastern and what's Western? So I say, okay. I don't know whether that was a prayer or not. I say, come on, West side, okay? And it was true, you know, West side. I open up, no difference. That's the only difference is that I don't need to pour the water. There's no need. But anyway, many things, right? So I was struggling. Anyway, got there on the third day, on a very, very hot day. You know, I have nothing to cover my head, right? So it was very, very hot. So I just pulled my handkerchief out, put it on my head, and then I poured water on it, right? And then I walk, right? As I walk, a question came to my mind. The question was, can you adopt this city? I don't know, you know, when you hear this, what it's supposed to mean. And immediately I understand what that question is supposed to mean. It means, if I say yes, it means from now on I will come to India forever. Then I struggled for a whole week. You know, in my whole life, I never struggled like that. I make decisions very fast, even big decisions. Like in 24 hours, I decide to marry my wife, of course, right? In 24 hours, I decide, you know, not to continue working with my father and going to seminary. And also within 24 hours, there's other big decisions. I'm not such a person that, like, thinking back and forth and things like that. But for that question, I cannot make up my mind because I never, in a way that, it's seldomly in such an occasion that I sense it so clear it is from God. In my whole life, I felt that about 5 times was like that. This is 2 of the 5 times, out of the 5 times. So, but I cannot make up my mind. I cannot make up my decision. If I say yes, I know what would be the consequence, right? So I cannot make up my mind. Then on Sunday, I have a chance to preach to the Indian brother and sister, right? So right in the sermon, you know, in the middle of it, I was kind of sharing with them, you know, how India is different from New York. You know, I read it in New York, you know, everything that I can get here, I can get in New York and far better and things like that. I don't know why I say that. So impolite. But actually, you know, it was the Holy Spirit setting me up. And then as I said, right, at the end of a sentence, then I say, see you next year. Right there, the Holy Spirit make the decision for me. Then since then, I began to go. So it has been 10 years. And in this, for the last 10 years, I experienced a lot. But mainly, the sweetness of Jesus' guidance. All the difficulty, all the problem, all the uncomfortableness is only the background to show how good is Jesus. You know, this wall is white, right? You put a dot on it. Even though very small dot, the background shows. Everything happened. It's just a background in order to show how Jesus is. And in this process, I went through, you know, not exactly the same thing as Peter, but I would say something similar. I think Jesus begins to pull me closer to him and take me a little bit deeper each day. My relationship with him is getting sweeter. And then there's what mission do to me. I always encourage people to go. Because when we're willing to walk out, Jesus will be there. You find Jesus. I think my time is up. So one day I will have an opportunity to share with you more pictures and things like that. But thank you so much for the song. That was a very good song. Let's pray. Then, Father, thank you so much for your love, because of your love that you sent your son, and because of your son's love that he's willing to die for our sin. We're not worthy of this love. We're not worthy of your sacrifice. Even though you have sacrificed for us, and we know that, and yet we are so rebellious, we're so unconsiderate, and yet you never give up on us. You always find ways to speak to us, try to drive us deeper into our life so that we can meet you there and find abundant life. So dear Jesus, I just ask you to be present with all the young people in this room, everybody, that you will bless all of them with your presence. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.